3 o'clock call.
Sorry, excuse me.
And we're reconvening the meeting of the regular scheduled meeting of the PhD. Again, today is January 23rd, 2019, and it is now a couple minutes after 3 p.m. First order of, on the agenda as we continue is a consent agenda. Please remember that if there are any amendments to today's agenda, please make them at this time. Any amendments? Rebecca?
No.
Okay. You hear a motion to pass the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Very good. Next order of business is San Juan County PhD number one, operations report, Pamela Hutchins.
This report is for the month of December. Our cash report, the total December receipts posted by the county were $10,966.82, of which $8,554.64 were property tax revenues, $444.82 were, there's a big long acronym, which it stands for, because last time you wanted to know what the acronym stands for, so I went and found out. It is the Department of Natural Resources Payment in Lieu of Taxes for National Areas of Preserve and National Resources Conservation Areas of Property. Wow. So we made $444.82.
Then why did they pay that to us?
Because those types of land, the Department of Natural Resources pay taxes in lieu of all this land. So that's where it comes from.
It's land owned by the DNR.
So instead of taxes, they just pay us a fixed fee per side or something.
For the amount of lands they own, it's a pretty small fee. And I think it's calculated, if you really want to know, based on revenue that they get from timber sales and things like that, that then gets apportioned out, I think. Can't remember for sure. But it's so small I haven't really chased the whole reason why.
So it's a set kind of formula thing that they have, and so that's how much money we got.
And you see it once a year, Pam?
No, it comes in whenever they, I'm not sure that.
Whenever the government's running.
Yeah, whenever, yeah. And then we also got $1,967.36 in leasehold tax. And so our total cash available at the end of December was $681,602.72. Our disbursements were on the larger side. The county totaled $849,157.09 for, and this was broken up into $3,328 for the fourth quarter of commissioner fees that were processed in December, and then regular warrant requests that were $20,569.36. And then the larger $825,000 was the debt service transfer fee that the district made to San Juan Island EMS for the sale of the medical center. So we paid them their money right at the end of the year for 2018. We've had 5 public record requests filed since our last meeting in November, and we are still processing them with approximate cost to the district of about $3,000, but we have just started getting bills in for that, so I'll have a better detailed figure next month.
So is that $3,000 just for the 5 public record requests?
Yes, and that we get charged for from Northwest Technologies, our IT group, for going through and searching for the records. And then when they get that file, they're turned over to the attorney, our district attorney, and then we pay for the redaction and them going through for exemptions.
So is that $3,000 figure inclusive of your salary and benefit time and Nathan's?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I ask a question of that? Mm-hmm. Is there, when people ask for records requests, is there a way we can ask them if they can just receive information or talk to somebody or something instead of going through having the taxpayers pay money for it?
Well, yes, and it's on there. If they go through the website and have the form, there's various different ways you can get the request, and some people do just say, "Can I come in and talk about this or look at this?" But then there are those that want a formal, big range of information, and when they do one of those big ranges, like say they want 6 months of everybody's emails searched, that's all five of you and us too, and so that's the IT department having to go through all of that. So those are the ones that come out to cost us more. Excuse me. And then for the financials, if you look at the December fund report in your packet, the revenues, if you go over to your far right-hand side, are 107.69, so we're 7.69 ahead of what we had budgeted. Then when you go down to expenditures, the ones that are over 100%, which are business office fees, that was the big increase in our wages that we had for part-time to full-time. So that was expected. The wages for the commissioners, because the meetings went up by 6 meetings from the year before. And then legal and accounting, we've had a lot of things we've been talking to the attorney with this past year. And also we had, it was about $10,000 from Foster and Pepper that they did not get their 2017 bill in until 2018. So that was charged on our 2018 budget. So they were talked to last year about getting their bill in on time, because they should have done that.
I noticed on that bill, it was a different attorney than the one that split off. It was a Berg or something. It's a close.
Right, Brad Berg, the main attorney. He was
James
one Fredman's that
the other
delayed.
Yeah, right, right. He split off.
Brad Berg was involved with the contractual arrangement with Planned Parenthood, et cetera. So.
Yeah, he was the main attorney on that. And he is the most expensive attorney that we deal with, because he's a specialist in public hospital district law, and a lot of the hospital districts around the state of Washington use him. And he's been doing it for years. So we try not to use him if we don't have to, but since that was for that Planned Parenthood contract, and he was involved in drawing up all of the hospital subsidy agreements, kind of knew, was more familiar with that. So he did all of that work, but he didn't get all of his bills turned in till after December for that work.
We didn't charge him a 1.5% reduction.
No.
Payment because they were late.
I did delay his bill. I didn't pay it for a while. So those were the main overages.
I have a question on the attorney and accounting. Can we split those out? Because
the legal
Chris
and accounting
sometimes doesn't put in his bill.
Sure. Yeah, we can
forever.
Work on.
The attorney and accountant are broken out.
On ours, it's just legal and accounting, and that's the bars. The number is legal and accounting, but I can work on with the county separating, see if we can separate that, how we can do that. So. Okay. Then on the second page, down on other taxes, you see that whopping 286.67. It looks like it's huge, like what happened, but the budget was only for $30 in taxes for that, and actually the county paid an additional one, and it totaled $86. So because it was such a larger amount than, you know, the budget, it came out, looked to where it was like a huge overage, but it was only $56. So, so that was the preliminary for the end of the year. We still are doing some of the year-end reconciliation, so next month I should have a better final detail of 2018. Any questions on that part?
So things consistently under budget, which
is it was pretty right on. It wasn't right on. Too much change one way or the other. For operations, I usually give a report on the Citizens Advisory Group, and they met on January 16th at 6:30 at the district office, like they usually do. They had the San Juan County auditor and the tax assessor talk to them, so I think they got some really good information. I think several of the commissioners were there, so that was a good meeting for that. And then they meet again on February 6th and February 20th. And those meetings last about 2 to 3 hours, so when you go, don't expect to just whiz in and have a little meeting and leave. They're pretty thorough on that part. And remember, you can always go to the district website, and there's a specific section for the CAG meetings you can listen to. You can see their agendas. You can hear the audios from the meetings. You can, there's contact information if you want to talk to the CAG members. So you can get a lot of information from that section on the CAG and what they're doing. And then we recently, last meeting, we talked about the long-term care task force and about the $50,000 we needed to get a feasibility report. Health facilities planning, we put a bid out to them. We've received $5,000 from the 13 hospital network that we were in, so we got $5,000 from that. And then Inter Island Healthcare Foundation agreed to take donations, and they have put up a website. You can donate through there from PayPal, or you can send a check to their post office box. And so the community has sent $3,365.25, and then we have the $5,000 from the network grant. So right now we have $8,365 to date. We are talking to health facilities planning. I had called to see when, you know, when we needed to have all of the money to them to start, or could we have a portion, or what was would they need. And Jody Corona, which worked very tirelessly for the hospitals back when they were doing the facilities feasibility study for that. She knows our islands, our people, and she said that they did not need to have the $50,000 in hand to start the work on it. So the long-term care task force is gearing up now to start having meetings with health facilities planning to start that feasibility study. So we hope to have it all finished by the end of March. And that would be a really great thing for the community to get that information and be able to look. We have also talked to Lopez and Orcas Island. the superintendent for both of those hospital districts is Ann Presson, so she has been at all of the recent meetings for this feasibility study, and so she is keeping apprised of what's going on with that, and try to get the other islands to join in, and because I think they have an interest in this project also.
Can they join into the feasibility study, or is that just specifically for this island?
They can, and they will be doing some data collecting from the other islands. That just won't be San Juan Island, so, yeah. And on this report, it gives the how you can contact Evan Perilis for the long-term task force here on the island, his number. He works at Village of the Harbor. And so that's what's happening on that so far. And the other work was happening in December was, of course, we've been talking about the interim chief and the process for that and how to do that. And we saw that work continued today. And so that's moving along rather well. And then the other thing was that the district is closely monitoring the progress of the two Department of Health complaints. And the investigator has been assigned, but he has made no announcement of when he is coming. So, and when he will start the investigation for the 21-day letter that really gives the information of what the complaints are about and the scope. And until he does that, there's not any new information that we can gain on that and to speak to the validity of the claims asserted, because just because someone files a complaint, it doesn't mean that there was wrongdoing. It has to go through that whole process of the investigator coming, so we will just have to stay on top of it and work it as we have the information from the investigator. Any other questions?
No, thanks. Well done.
Okay, yeah. That's my report.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay, next on the agenda is San Juan Island EMS Operations Report, Chief Martin and Chris Comp.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. For the month of December, we had 69 calls, total call number for the year, 1,088. We 8 calls less than we did last year. Number of calls per EFT was 2.32. And we assisted Island Air with 20 transports down to their station, 7 with airlift, and none with the Navy or Coast Guard. Next month, I should be having copy of our stats for 2018 for your review. I'll have Chris go over the financial reports. What we did this month per your guys' request here 2 months ago is that we changed the financial forms that we normally give you guys and gave you this one here that it should be easier to read and understand. So we'll see if you guys like that, and if you continue with this one, or if you can go back to the other one. Before Chris goes into this, the big highlights is that revenue, we did very well on our revenue side. Our expenditures were below budget, so I think we're looking really good there. And then in that, you'll find that our ACH contributions. We at the very last minute of 2018, we received another check from the ACH for our deliverables for $62,800, and we were unable to get that into the bank before the second. So that's going to be recorded as revenue for 2019, not 2018. So and really our revenue actually looks better than what it does here. So that'll give us a total of $117,000 from ACH. And ACH says that we're looking at the next 2 years, we should be able to receive the same or down to 80% of this money. So we should be getting about $100,000 from the ACH for our community paramedicine program. So that's looking good. Chris, go ahead.
So beyond that highlight, the so December was a pretty good month to finish out a really good year. The numbers I'm giving you here, if you see on this report, you'll see that there is an $825,000 revenue and expense, which reflects the funds that transferred in from the hospital district to pay down on the mortgage, to the bond, stay on the building. And so the numbers that I'm going to give you here for the year and the month are exclusive of that, since that's not going to be a recurring item. And so we had a $90,000 revenue for the month, and we rounded out the year with $2,286,000 for the year. Once again, net of the funds coming in from the building sale, that put us way above budget on our revenue. We budgeted. It put us $115,000 over what we had budgeted for revenue for the year. And if you look down the line on this report, you'll see there's a over on the left side, you'll see balance. And any of the balances that are negative means that they're over budget. And so almost every line coming down here was all over what we had budgeted. So some of the highlights and big changes were our ambulance revenue was up to $457,000. So we got $28,500 more than we budgeted. The GEMT money total that we got for the year was $66,731. So that's something we didn't even have the year before. The interest, because interest rates have been going up, our interest earnings from the on our reserves have gone up. So we had more donations. Plus, as Jerry highlighted, the ACH, we even got more property tax revenue than we had expected. So all in all, it was really good. On the expense side, we came in. We had $205,000 of expenditures for the year. Or for the month, and bringing the year once again net of this influx from the medical center debt pay down, we had a $1,938,000 of expenses for the year, and that was $188,000 below budget, what we had budgeted. So the net impact of all this. Is that we ended up having having essentially net income of $347,000 for the year, which is just fabulous. Now, some of that's going to be some timing, because now there's going to be some costs that we're going to be using for that ACH money with the community fair medicine in the coming year, we're going to be needing to buy some equipment. We didn't buy any significant equipment for this year, so it's not like we're just, plus we're going to be bringing in two full-time EMTs for this coming year. So that, I'd be really shocked if we had that same result in 2019, but it was really good. Plus, the other nice thing going forward is that, as we talked about in the meeting before, we're going to have a lot more. While our payment on the bond is not changing, we're going to be applying a whole lot more against principal than we'll be going to interest going forward, because we cut that balance in half.
Is that the exact balance listed there?
No.
Do you know what?
That balance is, you're seeing that on the treasurer's report, Jan?
I'm just wondering what that number is.
Yeah, that number is, I think, the beginning balance for the year. And so, let's see, you know, I don't actually have that report on me, but the treasurer's report, so I don't know what that balance says. But I can tell you that it's, we paid, so back out $888,000, and that's from that number, and, or yeah, subtract $888,500 from that number, and that's what our balance is at the end of the year.
So this number 824,995,560.
Oh, well.
It's showing as a balance. Is that what's owed on bond?
I'm sorry. Oh, that number?
Yeah.
No, that's the amount of principal that was paid down.
I see.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. So the amount that's owed on the bond is, I think it, I can't remember what it was off the top of my head at the end. I can look that up and tell you.
With this being, this report here stops at the end of 2018. Mm-hmm. With this, now that we have the 13th month, mm-hmm. we're able to reconcile all our accounts, mm-hmm. and we'll be able to have that for you at the next meeting.
Great, thank you.
Yeah. Other than that, yes, I don't think that probably covers what we were here, the main highlights for the year.
So as far as the ACH activities going on, we had a couple meetings with them lately going over the ACH, what our deliverables are going to be for 2019 and 2020. We're working with Snow 1, Snow 7, and North Snohomish County Fire and Rescue, and we'll be on the same track as them, and working with another physician that works at other ACHs. So that program and track is looking very good. The ground emergency medical transport, we're expecting to pay our revenue from the 2017-2018 should be coming here this month, so or next month. So we're expecting that. That's been delayed and delayed, so we're expecting that coming up. A community that had CPR and first aid classes here with the sheriff's office and dispatch being one of the classes that they had. IAFF Local 3219, there's no report for that, and then the CID, there's no report for them. Operations, the fatigue assessment, there has been no fatigue to report, and the Narcan usage as far as EMTs using it in the field, there has been no usage in 2018. Our 24-hour EMT shifting has started. It started the 1st of January, and that's been working out very, very well. We've moved some staff around the organization. Valerie is no longer with us. She left us on January the 2nd. Caitlin, who had experience in that position before, has stepped into that position, is doing just a fabulous job. So we have Katie English, Ian Randall, Bert, and I always
Orozco.
Butcher his name, and then we'll be looking at a replacement for Carl as soon as that transition started. So it's working out very well. They've been helping out with the EMT class. They've been working around the station and having assignments as far as vehicles, inventory, stuff like that. So it's working out very well. Work with other departments on the protocols, on the water and rescue program. Received a email, and this has been in your packet on Kaiser, about the Arrow Medical non-payment, whereas Kaiser has is questioning flights going off the island and coming back to the patient and asking them for questioning on the necessity of the flight. So in your packet, you'll see the email that was sent out and then the information packet that was sent by Kaiser. We have received a couple calls about it in regards to these non-emergent flights. I contacted Airlift to find out if they had any issues with that, and they did not. And then I got a couple calls from the public wondering why, since they've received this air membership program, and why that isn't being covered with Kaiser questioning it. So that's been referred down to Island Air, since that is their program, their membership program. So I've referred those calls down to them. And then in there too, that there's it refers to all island transports that are going to be non-flight, that they go through Northwest Ambulance. So that's also in the emails too. I received a call here. This is kind of a weird call, and it's probably something that be for you guys to note. It was a organization out of Seattle in regards to safe injection sites on the island, and they were asking questions about if this is something that we'd be interested in kind of hosting, something that we would be interested in having here. And again, I referred this line of questioning to public health, as this is not a EMS issue. So I pass that on to them. Our dispatch times are still continuing to be 3 minutes off. So we're trying to get that looked at and fixed. The community paramedicine stuff, we have a meeting tomorrow, so Lainey, Carl, and myself will be going down to Snow One and meeting with them and going through their roundtable process. And then lastly, we had Olivia here. She was here the last 2 days. And was involved in our training last night. Questions, comments from the board?
Well, I think I mentioned this last regular meeting, but I just added up the GEMT for 2018 and the ACH, and I came up to $182,000 for you.
Yeah, it's a good program. We're looking at so as far as the ACH money with the continuing to the community paramedicine program, that we're going to be working with the other fire departments. And so for us to get our data, our reporting data to the ACH, we are going to be going paying for a data person that's able to take all our data, since we all use the same software program, and they'll be able to take data from that. We all use the same billing program, so that we'll be able to get the data from that. We all use the same insurance, so we know our liability insurance is good for the ACH program. We have the same attorney, so we're able to have them review all our ACH groups. So this organization that we're belonging to, it's fitting very, very well. So, yes.
Thank you, sir.
The GEMT was $66,731, and the ACH contributions for 2018 were $62,000?
No, so our contributions, so our total contributions for the ACH that we got paid for 2018 would have been $117,000. But the six the $62,800 and that came on December 28th. Mm-hmm. And so by the time when we got that, and the last day to submit our revenue to the county was the 2nd of January. So we missed that date. So this year's revenue will show that.
Yeah. Will Carl's duties be split up among the four EMTs, or will it be a replacement, a hired?
No. So what we're going to be doing is the four EMTs that we have that are doing the duty days, they're going to be split up among all those. So Caitlin's job duties as when she was an EMT, and then Carl's duties as an EMT will be split up between the four EMTs.
Well, I would just like to congratulate Gary on the tremendous amount of work that you've done in getting the agency a whole ton of money. It's taken a lot of time with GEMT and the ACH. The whole collection issues, which for 2 or 3 years was reported over and over again about being horrid before you even showed up, you have now brought it down to what is normal and customary for collections and the time frame. You're responsible for the whole starting the community paramedicine program. I would love to see all of this wonderful news reported out there and the public understand what you've done for the agency. I thank you over and over again.
Thank you.
I have two comments. Caitlin, so it will be leaving. Is that correct? It's going to go to nursing school and...
Yes,
some mainland, someplace.
Yeah, that is her plan, and it looks like it could be as early as maybe April or late as the summertime.
Okay. And two, earlier when you weren't here, we were talking about job descriptions and contracts, and when I was reviewing that with my notes on job descriptions and contracts, part of my review referred me back to August in another contract with Dr. Stone. We had a contract with Dr. Stone. Have we ever terminated that contract? Because the de-delegation by the state would not terminate our contract because they weren't a part of the contract. So we need to terminate that contract, I would think. We had a San Juan EMS had a contract with Dr. Stone. He got de-delegated and we stopped paying him, but that doesn't stop the contract. Somehow the contract itself has to be stopped. De-delegation by the state, in his contract, de-delegation was not one of the clauses that would stop the contract. Because I went through that with your contract when we had those comments earlier, that de-delegation would stop the contract with Dr. Stone's, it didn't. So we would have to send a termination letter.
I believe that was done, and I'll have to check with our attorney.
Because I haven't seen, I couldn't find any evidence. But how deep I can look into the attorney's mind, I can't tell.
I will check with Richard Davis.
Any other questions or comments of Chief Martin or Chris Compton? Next agenda item is audience participation. Any people interested? Yes.
I'm wondering how the possibility of video live streaming is going as far as the meetings or the updates.
I have an update. I've been sick for 2 whole weeks, and the company that we talked to before, we weren't impressed with their ambition to get out here and do some checking, and so we are putting out a request for proposal for an AV company to come out and specifically work with us And we also are going to try to incorporate what we do here for it to be something that we can have at our office, because we do have room to have meetings at our office, smaller meetings, and so that we could use it both places. So it's still something we're looking into very closely, but because of the holidays and a lot of people didn't even get back into the office till like January 10th or something, that's what we're doing. We're looking for a more specialized company that really wants to help us figure this out.